Hey, dude, this dog leg stinks, man.
Okay, groomer, do something about it, man.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, Susie! What's up this week?
What's up is episode 370. That's what's up of the Groom Pod, recorded on April 16th, 2023 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, Groomore, and Stazco. And if you guys would like to support us, you can do so at our website, thegroompod.com, by clicking on the donation button for a one-time donation or Patreon for a subscription donation. And we have a new subscription donation, Barbara. Woohoo! It's Michael from Cascade Grooming Supply.
Oh, lovely.
And it's $25 a month.
Wow.
I know.
It's a nice commitment. Thank you very much, Michael from Cascade.
Yep. Thanks, Michael. And this week on the Groom Pod, we are going to talk about doing faces, because for me, faces were really intimidating when I started out. A little better now, but still made me nervous. What's new is brought to you by Groomore Software. If you haven't found Groomore, you're missing out. Groomore is an all-in-one software solution for your grooming business. Whether you are a solo mobile groomer or manage several shops, Groomore has everything you need. 24-hour online booking and forms, routing, credit card processing, reminders, Google Calendar and QuickBooks integration, and so much more. And the best customer service anywhere. Shop, mobile, or house call, Groomore has you covered. And they're giving us a free month. Just enter GroomPod22 in the coupon code. Hey, Barbara, I'm curious for an update about the sticky, icky poo dog. Do we have any new news on that?
Sticky, icky poo dog. You know, how we left it was that I offered to do a free regroom on him, which he happily accepted and then canceled the next day because he realized it was a Saturday and he was very busy. And so, in other words, he didn't really need to do that. For some reason, he just needed to let off. And, you know, I just promised to do better next time.
And we haven't had a next time yet?
We haven't had a next time yet. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll be seeing my friend Margot with the sticky icky poo problem.
Okay, so my question, tiny bit premature, but I got a new thing this week, Barbara. It's really cool, and I want to tell you about it. You know, in my mobile grooming vehicle, I have a difficult time keeping labels on my mixing bottles. They're not mixing bottles. In my case, I'm not mixing anything, but my storage bottles, the labels come off because they get wet and it drives me crazy. But of course, I'm the queen of the label maker. So I whip out new labels and I put them on, but I hate wasting the labels. Well, Wesley, our friend Wesley from the Scouts Honor Question, works at Cascade Grooming Supply during the shows. He has a cool new thing, and it's a rubber band with the name of the shampoo that you have on the rubber band. It's $3. You can put anything on that rubber band you want. And then I just slip it over the top of my bottle and it never wears out and it stays right in place. And it's so cool. So I did 14 of them with all my different options of shampoos. Now I know it's not exactly OSHA compliant, but it's much closer than having no bottle labels on them at all. So I wanted to let people know, if you're interested in this, it's $3 a piece. You can have as many done as you want. There's 5 colors to choose from. I think he does it through laser engraving. And it's at clipperfix.com. So that's Clipper, C-L-I-P-P-E-R, fix.com. And the reason I'm telling you guys this is because he gave me a deal on my blades. And so we're doing a little trade here. So I just needed to slip that in.
Oh, yeah.
It's possible you'll hear it a few more times, but I'm loving them. They're really easy to grab. They don't fall off. I can tell what shampoo is in there, especially for some of those shampoos that have similar colors, like white. White shampoos are hard to tell apart because they're white. I mean, the nose knows, but when you're grabbing the bottle, it doesn't always know. So I had a fun interaction with one of my puppies. It's a Westie puppy.
Yeah,
his name is Rudy, and this is the third dog with this family, I think, and they just got him, so he's pretty young.
He's a cute name for a Westie.
Yeah, he's actually on Instagram. I think it's under Rudy the Westie or Life of Rudy or something. You can probably find him on Instagram. He is a really cute, really fun-loving Westie, you know, as most of the little boys are. He's got a lot of spunk in him, and I was doing his second or third grooming. I don't remember which one it was. And this time I met the husband because the wife was out. She was having a girls' weekend in Vegas with her pals. And so she was gone. So I had to deal with the husband, which in the world of dog grooming as a mobile, you deal with usually one person in the household, and it's usually the same person. It's not always the woman, but most of the time it's the woman. Occasionally it's the dude. And then sometimes you get both. In this case, I always deal with the lady. So here I go. I go up to the dog, take him out there, and we have a really good grooming. I mean, he was a good boy. He didn't fuss at me. He didn't try to scratch me. He let me do everything like a champ. I was really happy. So I came back into the house, and I said, you really got to reward him because he did such a good job. I said, do you have any tug toys? And he goes, oh, yeah, we've got a lot of tug toys. And I said, Rudy really needs a tug right now. And then I went, what did I just say to this guy? Oops. And then I went, oh my goodness, that sounded horrible. That's not what I meant. I meant play tug with him, you know, with one of his tug toys. Not that he needed a tug, because that has a whole different meaning. And luckily he laughed. We had a good laugh at it. But oh my God, sometimes the things I say, and I watched the words come out of my mouth, and maybe my mind is in the gutter and most people's isn't, but I totally went to a different area as the words were coming out, as I saw them flying out of my mouth. I wanted to take them back. I was like, no, not that tug, not that kind of tug. Oh, God. So he was such a good boy. I love Westies. I didn't know how much I loved Westies. I don't know if I could live with one, but I love grooming them. I love having them on my table. I love spending time with them. Well, because I do a decent Westie, I encourage Westies in my client base.
Speaking of Westies, I have a call for two appointments for two Westies that are clients of another groomer, my friend Crystal Dunn.
Ah.
She's fallen out of sync on her scheduling with Crystal, and Crystal is so packed, she needed some interim appointments, two of them, and I gave them to her. I was happy to. It's cool, you know, a little coordination with another local groomer who's a fabulous groomer. I'm sure I'll be really challenged to do them likewise, but I think my Westies are top-notch. It's one of my more confident breeds. So that was kind of out of the wind, you know, like, boom, can you just give me two appointments and then I'll see you? You know, I said,
I don't mind that.
No problem. I'll be a backup to Crystal. I mean, it's true. I have openings. She doesn't. So cool. Thanks, Crystal, you know, and I thanked her, and it's cool, huh?
Yeah, I like it. So I just did kind of a similar thing. Well, not quite a similar thing. I don't do a lot of grooming in my neighborhood because most of my grooming is over by the vet hospital I used to work for. But I do a little bit of neighborhood grooming. And my friend that I ride with, she calls me up and says, hey, do you want to take a Jack Russell Terrier across from the fire station? And I was like, nope, gut reaction. Nope, not taking any new dogs. She's like, oh, okay. And then I thought about it and I thought, this is a neighbor. It's a Jack Russell Terrier. What's the likelihood it's going to be a monthly or less groom? I can fit in some of those 2 months, 3-month grooms. I don't really want to fit in any more monthly grooms. So I did her a good turn and I got lots of praise and lots of kudos. And I haven't met the dog, but apparently the dog is nice and the lady's even nicer. And she is a very good friend of my good friend. So I felt like a jerk and I called back and I said, how often does she want the dog groomed? And she went, oh, are you going to take her? And I thought, yes, because we have lost yet another mobile groomer.
Oh.
Yeah, a house call groomer who is now moving to the other side of the mountains. And unfortunately, it's in my area again. So now I'm going to get inundated with 1,000 phone calls from her client base that I can't fix.
Well, but if she has call grooming, she probably doesn't have 1,000 clients.
Well, that's true. But I've sent her a handful of them. They're all going to call me back. I just know it. I don't even have room for them. No new people. It's true. No, I'm not taking any new people because I have a horse. And I need to ride the horse.
Need to have a life outside of grooming because you don't want to burn out.
Well,
listen, speaking of Jack Russell Terriers, I read an extensive article about the whole motion, all that happened behind the emergence of the Jack Russell Terrier and the Parsons Russell Terrier and what some of the issues were and the whole difference between grooming for form and grooming for function.
Interesting.
And how when dogs enter the show ring, the grooming moves from function to form, and it's just grooming for the breed points, the talking points, so to speak, of the groom, the styling points, the breed character points, and functional grooming goes out the window. Hey, that's the truth.
It is.
You know, and I remember that when I was, especially my first time in Scotland, they were griping about American grooming of sporting breeds, making them glamorous, you know, Irish setters and et cetera, et cetera, and the Cocker Spaniel, and making them couldn't ever work with those haircuts, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine a Cocker Spaniel working with that haircut.
It was a very interesting article. It was lengthy and kind of cumbersome to read because it was very British, but it was fascinating to get these points of view, you know, and how that pretty much all existing purebred dogs were created by man.
Oh, yeah. It's true. It's very true.
All right. So shut up.
Something has been grinding on me lately. And I thought, well, I've got a venue to complain. Why not complain about it? It's not normally my style, but I've got a big complaint. And my complaint is the watering down of the word certified groomer. We used to have a few certification organizations that did comprehensive testing. Like, for instance, I'm certified through IPG, old IPG, not current IPG. And it took me 6 years and a ton of money and a lot of homework and a lot of practicing and giving away free grooms to get through my certification to become a certified master groomer. Today, the trade shows are advertising that perhaps you're a certified doodle groomer if you take this course that lasts, you know, 5 hours, 4 hours.
Well, it's usually a one-day thing that's an extra day at a trade show. And I think they started out, didn't they, with poodle grooming?
Probably.
That was one of the first ones. It has to do with the merger of AKC, the loss of the National Dog Groomers Association of America, and the merger of AKC and Barkley.
And our clients already don't understand our certification process. And to them, the fact that you're a certified doodle groomer may mean the same thing as a certified master groomer to someone who's never been educated in what those things mean. And I don't know how to properly educate the clients because I can only educate my own, and they all know because I complain about it. They all know what the letters mean after my name and why I have them and how I got them. And a lot of them were actually present during the process. Some of them even were the recipients of those free grooming as I was trying to perfect my breed profiles and things like that. But I don't know where it's going to go from here. Where are we going to go from here? Because now a lady called locally asking if she could see the groomer's license for grooming dogs. You have a license for grooming dogs. And the groomer said, well, we don't license dog groomers in this state. And the lady ripped up her client information card, threw it, and went out the door. And apparently she has phoned a bunch of different groomers trying to see people's licenses, which the only license we have is the one the state of Washington gives us to run a business. That person probably heard something about certified groomers or licensed groomers or something like that. Now she's out there trying to find a groomer with zero understanding of what she's looking for in paperwork. I'm not sure, you know, stuff on the wall. Yeah, we have some of that. But I also have a notebook full of certificates from continuing education. That is not the same thing as being a certified master groomer. And that's where my frustration is lying. Thoughts?
Well, there's always been a certain amount of questioning of the value of becoming a certified master groomer. And I am, and like you, I certified through Original IPG, and it wasn't that long for me because I was able to speed it up because I'd been grooming for so long and I was trained with breed profiles. But it was arduous and challenging.
And expensive.
And ultimately satisfying to complete it. And it took me to another whole level of grooming. And I see myself there. But it's hard to translate that because it deals with breed profiles. The emphasis on breed profiles is not understood by a lot of pet groomers and pet owners. He's not a show dog, so I don't need you. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I want my Westie to look like a Westie and not a Schnauzer is a common complaint of people who use groomers who don't give a shit. It's always been an area of contention as to the value. And my gripe has been that none of the organizations that certified us, that took our money to certify, did any kind of public relations work.
Other than what we do in our own shops.
There was a bumper sticker, I think it was NDGAA, at one time had a bumper sticker that said, is your groomer certified?
Well, that's something.
That's something. But now we're faced with the whole business that the word groomer is misunderstood as a pedophile.
That's a good point.
What's a master groomer? Polished pedophile?
Right, polished pedophile.
Am I a Democrat? Oh, well.
It's interesting that when I started to groom, when I groomed, the teacher that I was with taught me to groom from the AKC book. Like, we read the AKC book. I didn't have the other grooming books with me.
Yeah, that was my book, too. That was my reference. There wasn't any Jody Murphy or any notes from the grooming table. There was nothing. Nothing. I still have notebooks of show dogs from the Show Dog magazine that is distributed at the dog shows that you pay hundreds of dollars to get your picture published in the magazine, and plus you pay the photographer. That's all a racket.
Right, and the basis of all of my mutt grooming is still based on what does the dog look most like, and how can I adapt the haircut that would most likely be on that dog if it was a full-bred dog into this nifty style on this mixed breed dog.
And there's just elements of style that you take from breed profiles, just elements, and you just know what a cat foot is. You know how to groom a face fall and how to make it be more practical for a pet.
Licensing is a completely different language.
Oh, it's another whole animal. Yeah. I know. Licensing is just being permitted to practice.
I always thought that the master groomer thing would set me apart from other people. And same with my master groomer behavior specialist. It sets me apart. It says that I've done a lot of training work on top of my grooming work and that that's my focus. That is not a two-hour class at a Barclay seminar. It's not the same, and yet it appears the same. Well, it doesn't because they don't have the letters, not the official credentials like that, but people look at it as like they can advertise as being a certified groomer because they got a certificate from that class. I'm just complaining. It's just driving me a little batty because I feel like it's minimized.
I think you're right. It's being diluted. The notion, the value of the term certified is becoming greatly diluted by the difference of a continuing education certificate.
Thank you for hearing my opinion and validating me and making me feel all good because you feel similar. So it definitely helps.
You're very welcome. And before we go, I have something I have to I have something to tell you that happened to me.
Uh-oh. Okay. I'm sitting down. I'm ready. Go ahead.
I took a hard fall.
What?
In front of my house last week. A hard fall. This is not just stumbled.
That doesn't make me happy.
I was attempting to break down some cardboard boxes for recycling because Lord knows I've got an avalanche of cardboard boxes throughout my home because I do so much Amazon and Walmart online. I'm now at Home Depot. Home Depot got rid of their motorized carts.
Uh-oh.
It is a huge area with hard floor. I don't know how anybody works there, with concrete flooring. And I cannot last two aisles on my feet in Home Depot. My legs give out. So I can't shop there unless I look up what aisle something's in and I just run in and get that one thing. So I have now started Home Depot delivery, and they use cardboard boxes. So I have this mountain of cardboard out there. I've got to break it down to put it in the recycling barrel. And I'm out there actually doing it because nobody offered to do it for me. Well, wait on that, Barbara. Why don't you? I had like one fucking neighbor that would offer to break down cardboard for me. But no, they just let it grow mountains out in front of my house and frown at me when they see me. It looks like a hoarder residence. Well, it is. So I'm out there doing it. I'm doing it today. And I got my box cutter and I'm cutting cardboard. And I had my orthopedic slippers on. Okay, so these are slippers, and they're pretty firm, and I've worn them to work, but they're slippers. They have nothing, no security behind the heel, right? And I stumbled on a little bit of paver. I have brick pavers out in front of my house. They're no longer completely level with each other. There's little differences. So I stumbled and just went down.
Oh, no.
It was like in slow motion. Oh, damn, I'm going down. I reached for some support in my rose tree and broke two old branches off.
Oh.
Fell down, splat, with rose branches clutched in my hands. And I banged my bad knee. I scraped my elbow and I bumped my elbow really hard and twisted my wrists grabbing the bush and twisted my back. I just messed up. And I'm sitting there and I'm weighing 220 now. I cannot stand up from a sitting down on the floor position, even in great shape, not to mention falling. I mean, thank God I didn't hit my head or anything like that. I didn't really suffer any terrible damage, but I was badly shaken and I couldn't get up. I sat there for like 20 minutes. I live on a street that's been turned into a bicycle street.
Oh, really?
Bicyclists would go past my large opening of driveway and I was, hey, can you help me? No. No, they're not going to fall for it. No. About three bicyclists passed and didn't stop. You know, I'm not going to just sit there and shout for help. So my phone was in reach. I got my phone. I called the paramedics. I had to call 911 on myself. The paramedics came. So let me tell you this story. So there's two of them. One of them is a older, kind of the senior guy. And then there's the younger guy who's clearly new on the job. You could just tell by his level of confidence and he didn't say much, you know. Well, the senior guy, he's kind of off to the side of me and he's setting up the blood pressure and he's going to check my vitals and he's setting up his equipment and everything. The younger guy is right beside me and I lean over to look up at him and my view was right at his crotch and he was partially unzipped. I'm looking at a partially unzipped
crotchal area.
Genital area. I try to raise my eyes. So there you are. What to do? Do you say something so that he knows and can take care of it? Do you make a joke? Oh, are you just happy to see me? Or do you always unzip your pants? I wanted to joke, but I could tell that they were taking my situation very seriously. And probably wouldn't enjoy my sense of humor.
Right.
So I didn't say anything. So I said, well, I'll just keep my big mouth shut. And I won't say anything, but then my eyes betrayed me because, you know, like how we are.
Yes.
And at that very moment that I couldn't not look again at his crotch, I understood why men look at big boobs that are right in front of them and can't get their eyes off your boobs if you're showing them off. You know, because that's the devil inside of us. Your eyes are not under your control at that moment. Oh, did I really see that? Oh, God. And then I was really embarrassed. Then he turned and all in one very fluid moment, he zipped himself up. And we were over it. And he didn't get in trouble. And I didn't get in trouble. We didn't have a lot of eye contact after that either.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
Like, what do you do? What do you do? Yeah, both of them had to pull on me to get me up because I was really down there. And it shook me up, Susie. That's the thing about seniors falling is it's not just that you can hurt yourself, but it just slams your sense of security about your body.
Right, and living alone.
Yeah, and living alone and the whole thing. So I've become reacquainted with my walking sticks.
That's a good idea.
Probably a good idea. I wasn't even high. You know, when I'm high, I'm very, very, very careful. But I was out there in the morning breaking down cardboard, you know?
Just doing your thing.
Who would have thought? I've got sandbags that I have to go over every time I go from this room into my main house. I have to go on top of this. I can't even move the damn things. They've been there for 4 years, you know, but I have to go over them somehow. So I'm really careful doing that.
Apparently not the cardboard, though.
Oh, anyway, that's my funny story and my confession. And I'm okay now.
Okay.
Slowly regaining confidence. And I have discovered silver sneakers exercises in chairs on YouTube. And there's this one guy that does them, and he does Bruno Mars music. And I said, okay, this is my YouTube. I can do this with Bruno.
Good.
So I've got an exercise guidance thing going. And
good, because Barbara and I are taking a little trip later on this summer for a secret special get-together, and she's got to be strong for it.
I got to be strong for it, and I'm just determined that I'm going to be in better shape. I even called a new healthcare provider because I'm not happy with my primary care physician that I think doesn't get me. You know, I mean, you don't have to fix my ass, but I'm special and I know I'm special and you got to get me. And she just doesn't. She doesn't have a sense of humor. She doesn't appreciate me. I just don't like it. So I'm going to go get another provider and I'm going to take a place that's closer. Well, the first appointment I can get is the week after our trip.
Oh, that's no good. Well, I'm glad you're exercising, and let's exercise our right to take a break right now. How's that? Sometimes my clients don't like a walking air freshener. When these crazy people request a scent-free option, I go right to Show Season.
Show Season True Tearless Shampoo and Hypo Conditioner fit the bill. They are totally fragrance-free and yet hold up on their own as good products. True Tearless has been expertly formulated to be gentle to the eyes, skin, and hair while maintaining good cleaning power. Hypo Conditioner is a great option as well, and it's one of our favorite conditioners with or without fragrance. So let's get fragrance-free. Use True Tearless and Hypo Conditioner from Show Season today.
Go to showseasongrooming.com.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
When I was first starting out, my dog faces were awful because I didn't really understand balance very well. I just didn't get the balance part of doing the heads. So I thought, well, this is a great subject because I couldn't think of anything else to talk about. I thought this was fabulous. You know, 370 episodes, we've talked about everything grooming you could possibly imagine. But yet, we always find something new and interesting to discuss somewhere in amongst the topics, so what the heck? I wanted to talk through the process of grooming a face, and let's start with when the dog shows up. It has crusty eye boogies all over its eyes. I look for that when they come in the door because I suspect underneath there could be some irritation, and since the client is still there, I might mention to them at that moment that perhaps there's going to be some irritation underneath those eye boogies, just in case, just to kind of cover my tracks. There we go. Ass. That's good.
C-Y-A. C-Y-A.
Yes. Cover your ass. So when the dog comes in, I do that. And then I ask the owner if there's anything special they'd like done with the head, if it's the first time in. If it's not the first time in, I already know what I'm doing. But oftentimes people have fixations about the ear length.
There's something about their dog's face that they're attached to.
That's exactly it. Sometimes it's eyelashes.
Yep.
Heaven forbid. Sometimes it's that little discolored bunch of hair that comes out of the flue of a dog. You know, that little wrinkle underneath the lower lip. I had a dog that had very dark flue areas. It was like a Wheaton mix and very light colored hair everywhere else. Well, I, of course, went right in there and cut those off because they were incongruent to me. They didn't look right. Apparently, that was the dog's mojo. I didn't know it was his mojo, but I cut off his mojo. It took months and months to grow that mojo back. Thank God it came in dark. They called it his little cigars. Okay.
I know. I had a little kind of Russell Terrier mix stray adopted dog that I did one time, and she had a few little hairs on the top of her head that were out of place, and I clipped them off. Oh, no, was her unicorn thing. Don't ever do that again. Okay.
Never know. You never know what it is that people have attachments to. So I'd like to get that out of the way right when the dog comes in. Really important part of doing faces is the bath part of doing faces. And this is kind of tricky because we are led to believe that there are products out there that won't cause eye ulceration. It's not true, though, because anything can cause eye irritation if it's left on there long enough, or if it's put directly on the eye, or if the eyes are already at risk. I mean, there's lots of ways to cause damage. How do we get around that?
One thing that I like to do is I choose a foaming face wash, because when you've got foam, the surfactants are highly diluted with air. And so there's less of a concentration of any actual surfactant going to get into the eye. So right there, it makes them more eye safe.
It's so tricky because you're right there in the corner of the eyes where this stuff gathers, and you want to get it softened up and loosened up so that you can remove it.
So I have a product that I try to get the bathing staff to use, but I don't have much results with that. It's something that Ingrid David recommended on our Groom Pod discussion group on Facebook that really works to soften that stuff up. Yvonne likes to just use conditioner. And conditioner is good and it does soften. But conditioner can burn the eyes if it gets in the eyes, because anything cationic is going to attach to the protein in the eye and make that bad. So it's just as bad as shampoo.
I was looking on Facebook and I saw that there was a groomer who was having a lot of repeated ulcers on dog's eyes right now. And she was concerned it was a product issue. It's not a product issue. It's a technique issue. You can't get anything in the eyes. You just can't.
You can't get anything in the eyes. And you shouldn't try to remove eye boogies when they're dry and stiff, because you will remove a layer of skin. And that sometimes happens even when you use the clippers. You can go too deep and just kind of abrade the skin right there. And then what do you do?
Especially when you don't know what's under there. You don't know how long they've been there. They could have been there for 3 weeks. They could have grown on that first week after grooming, and now they've been on there for 3 weeks, and there could be ulceration or very swollen and sensitive, irritated skin under there. And then you go in with your clippers and you just get the corner of it, and it creates another problem, because then the dog starts to itch at their face, and you know that snowballs into ugliness. There are tools you can use, though, in that area. And I remember you telling me about a really cool one that you picked up, and it's the eyebrow comb and brush duo.
Yeah, it's a long toothbrush kind of looking thing. It's got an eyebrow brush on one. It's an eyelash comb and brush combination. It's got a little flea comb type comb, tiny little comb on one end, and then a little brush on the other end. And I get them from China for, you know, like 25 cents each or something. And so I can throw them away if they get icky. The little comb is very good at lifting out stuff, and the brush will get tiny pieces of eye boogie off. I like that thing. We use those a lot.
And then I've got the little teeny Chris Christensen face comb. Half of it is flea comb size pins, and the other half of it is more coarse, but not too coarse. So I find that's really helpful in getting in there. And what my technique is, I use a foaming face wash. I generally use FaceTime from Show Season foaming face wash. It's already diluted properly. I use the foamer that I originally got it, so it still has the label on it. And then I just refill it. And I get that and I work that through at the very beginning of the bath. Then I wash the whole dog and do all the rest of the stuff, rinse it off. Then I go back there and either with that Chris Christensen comb or a toothbrush that I get from my dental cleanings. I use a Sonic Care for my own teeth. So she's like, do you need any eye booger cleaners? Because she knows me. So I use those toothbrushes. They're the soft ones. And sometimes I'll use that to get that stuff in there. And then even when you get the majority of the goobers on there, sometimes there's like stuck down hairs that paste down right underneath the eye where the tearing is. And if it's too severe, I'll mention that they may want to do a vet visit and see if there's a plugged tear duct or something going on like dry eye or that's creating the irritation. But then I try to get in there with that little comb and comb those little hairs up because those are the stupid hairs that will then stick up right after you send the dog home for grooming because they're finally clean.
When it's a senior, I automatically suggest they might try tear replacement type eye drops because almost all senior dogs, almost all seniors, hey, I are one. I've gained such an appreciation for old dogs since I'm turned over 80. Such an appreciation. Call that forced choice empathy. I get you. So I want to say one thing about the metal flea combs. If you use a metal flea comb, be sure to clean it out well and dry it right afterwards because they will rust. Even though it's stainless steel, that eye boogie stuff is really acidic and it will rust, a comb and they're worthless.
That's another use for that dental cleaning toothbrush they give me every time. I use them to clean those little combs out. They work pretty good.
To clean your comb.
Yes. Well, I don't need them for my teeth, and I don't like throwing things like that in the landfill without at least using them first. You know, I feel guilty.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now we've got, like, the eye boogies out. This is a point at which you should be watching for blinking, excessive blinking on the dogs. Like, make sure that you didn't irritate or need to flush those eyes out. So that's what you would notice if you got some shampoo in the eyes, would be the dog would be blinking. They may have red eyes. They may kind of itch at their eyes.
Just wincing.
Making the face. Making a little face.
Hey, Chris Bear Anthony here. You may know I've been swiveling for years now with my beloved Evolution shears, but I wasn't actually born with a pair of swivel shears in my hands. Check out our website and Facebook page for our library of how-to videos, or give me a shout for a personalized guide. Your hands will thank you. Don't forget, GroomPod listeners get $10 off and free shipping with the code GroomPod. What are you waiting for? Give them a try today.
Sometimes my clients don't like a walking air freshener. When these crazy people request a scent-free option, I go right to Show Season.
Show Season True Tearless Shampoo and Hypo Conditioner fit the bill. They are totally fragrance-free and yet hold up on their own as good products. True Tearless has been expertly formulated to be gentle to the eyes, skin, and hair while maintaining good cleaning power. Hypo Conditioner is a great option as well, and it's one of our favorite conditioners with or without fragrance. So let's get fragrance-free. Use True Tearless and Hypo Conditioner from Show Season today.
Go to showseasongrooming.com. Moving on to the haircut. So we were talking about getting the eye boogies out, but what do you use to clean the hair out from the corners of the eyes? I bet I know.
Well, I have a couple of ways. I use my little tiny blenders. That's probably what you're expecting me to say.
Yes.
And I also use a mini Bravura.
Okay.
The mini Bravura. It's a really tiny, like a 1.5-inch blade, straight shaft, lavender little trimmer. And it's like a 30 blade in there. And I just use it with an extremely light touch. I also, and some of my dogs, if sometimes the eyelashes themselves are annoying the eyes, are irritating the eyes. And if that's happening, I just very lightly clip them off with that little thing. Of course, as a Bichon groomer, I'm trained myself to be able to work around the edges of the eyes because when you groom Bichons for show, you want to show the black eye rims. And that requires you to kind of clean them off. And I can do it with scissors and I can do it with clippers, although the clippers are probably the safer choice. The tiny clipper is least intimidating for the dog. The 5-in-1 on the 15 blade setting is probably the safest option. I have become quite skilled at that.
I have a lovely assortment of very small scissors that I can use to get in there and just that spot right over the eyes when you're trying to increase the visibility of the rim or just open the eyes up a little bit.
Are these like mustache scissors with rounded tips?
I was going to just mention that. Artero has tiny little mustache scissors with the ball on the end. And I often will use those reversed, so backwards curved, right in the corner of the eye if the blenders aren't getting out what I needed to get out.
The inner corner of the eye.
Yes.
The outer corner, you want it to go with the curve of the eye.
Right. And I don't always use those ones. Like, I mostly use those ones for the inner corner. And the outer corner, I just have very small curves without the ball on the end because I, too, have practiced and make sure that the dogs are trustworthy to hold still, although you can never completely guarantee that there's not going to be any movement. How about the lips? Do you ever take the hair off above the lips? Because I think that's kind of a neat look. I got to say, some Shih Tzus have the absolutely best little lips on them that you would never know were there until you just take that underneath the nose hairs off. This cute little adorable human-like lips on these Shih Tzus.
Yeah, I do lip trims on my Shih Tzus and on Shih Tzu-like dogs and sometimes even slightly undershot dogs. I exaggerate it by taking it off the bottom lip. And sometimes there's chin hairs right on the under the bottom lip that are annoyingly out of place. And I'll just take those off. I like to trim sometimes just the bottom lip. Yeah, it gives the dog a more smiling appearance. And it's one of my little secret things that has only backfired on me once.
Uh-oh.
Some customer didn't like it at all. And I said, okay, well, bye.
And then, and then as the dogs age and get more difficult and have more dental problems, they love to suck in the hairs into their teeth.
Drives me crazy.
Yep.
You'll be trying to comb it out of their mouth and they're sucking it back in faster than you can grab your scissors.
Yes.
I have a Bichon poodle mix that's older, belongs to really good clients of mine. And the dog came in months ago, and it had this string hanging out of its mouth. It was a string. And so Yvonne's based the dog. She says, it's got this string hanging out of its mouth. What are we going to do? And I looked at it, and I tugged on the string, and it was going to pull all of her bottom front teeth out if I pulled that string out. Something was woven all around the bottom of the teeth. And so I cut it short, not all the way to the mouth, because I wanted it to poke out there so that the owner would see it.
Yeah.
It said, she's got this situation that I think is going to need a vet visit. Well, she came back the next month, and she still has it.
Oh, no, no.
The owner said, well, yeah, she destroyed a toy. They got a new dog, and they got a new toy, and the old dog destroyed the toy, and she's got toy fuzz.
Ew.
All embedded, and it's staying there. And I have a feeling that the vet said, leave it.
Oh, geez.
I've got to confront her about it. It's hard to confront some of your best people with, what did the vet say? Oh, I didn't go there.
Yeah, right.
You take the dog to the vet. You know, how do you do that? I said, I'm going to have to say, you know, she's still got this situation. It's going to just stay there. What are we doing?
Because it's going to add to rotting of the teeth. because it'll wick in bacteria. That'll be, yeah.
Oh, ew. It's gonna hold that crap right in there at the gum line. I mean.
And the smell.
Well, yeah.
Yucko.
I think that odor avoidance is part of my shallow breathing problem.
I can relate because I do the same thing.
Because I think I just hold my breath. I just don't inhale through my nose. I exhale through my mouth like I'm supposed to. I'm just going, so I don't smell breaths and stuff.
All right. Let's get us back on track.
I loved doing faces. I remember being a little intimidated, but now face work is my art form. I love creating a look that captures the spirit of the dog in its face. That's what I usually see at the intake. I look at see what is going to bring out the personality of that dog. Then I say, how do you want the face? And I love it when they say, just do your thing.
Yeah, that's always the best. Do you use clipper combs on the head?
I don't. Dave does.
I do.
He does his clipper comb back against the grain thing from the occiput all the way forward.
I kind of go up the sides sometimes.
Well, I come down the sides. I'll come down.
I go down the sides. Yep.
Yeah. You know, I use my Figura with snap-on comb on it, and I just skim stuff and sketch it in.
Do you take the hair under the ears? I do. I take that hair under the ears. I flip the ear up. No matter what the head I'm doing, because mostly I'm doing drop coat anyway, I just take underneath and define that chin line and get the hair out from underneath the ears.
Yeah, I get the hair from underneath the ears, and I will tilt the chin up, and I get that inner throat area real good because that sets the head out.
Let's talk a little bit about expression and ears, because ears are my scourge. They're my nemesis. I'm the worst at getting things even. I'm not good at symmetry. I try my best, but I always seem to, you know, get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter on the ears. But I think that shorter ears make the dog look younger, and longer ears tend to make the dog look older.
I agree. I have a couple of dogs. I have a Maltese mix and a Havanese mix and a Havanese purebred that are white dogs. And I do their hair like almost to the leather. And then I scissor all the way up the back edge of the ear. And then I leave the front a little bit longer. And it shapes this really cool look on the ears, and the people just love it. It's just a styling feature that I adopted for myself that I really like. I think it can make a real, you know, it's a takeoff on the little Dutch boy ears, except that when you come to the, I learned to do the backside of the ears when I studied the Legato Romanola head. And that's the secret to that head too, is that you scissor on the edge of the leather all the way at the back of the ear. And it just gives a really interesting, and you know what? It gives a nice look when you're looking at the dog from behind, which is what a lot of people are viewing when they're walking their dog, because how many people do you know that actually have their dog at heel? No, the dog got a fucking extend the leash out in front of them, and they're looking at the back, even if it isn't an extended leash. The dog is like 2 feet in front of them, and they're looking at the back of the head. Well, that view is great when you pay attention to the hair on the back of the ears.
For the most part, closer to the leather for me means the ears are going to be more even. So I do like close to the ear leather, but I've had it backfire because sometimes underneath the ears are shaped differently. And you may not quite know that until you start cutting away hair, and then you're all of a sudden like, oh my God, these ears are completely different from each other. And now I've really screwed myself because I went too short.
Bichons are bad with that.
Yep.
Bichons have one ear that folds.
Yes. Okay. Well, here's the bad news. We're not going to get to the hair reconstruction part of our show. So we'll save that for next week.
Yeah. I'm kicking myself now for telling the story about falling, because I would have much rather shared the news about hair repair. We'll make it a main feature next week.
Yes, it'll probably be worthy of a main feature by next week, because you're just going to continue to dig.
Yeah, and it's a subject that I'm working into my next forthcoming webinar on coat damage.
And when is that?
It's going to be like June 12th. And I think my time is 10 or 10:30.
The prime time. You're the prime time player, Barbara.
Somebody ahead of me. But it's a good time for me. And we're going to be talking about my updated information about understanding coat damage and some new slides, some new facts, some new product information. And we'll get a little preview next week when I talk about hair repair.
And if you'd like to take that seminar, it's on positiveed.com through Mary Aquendo's site. And yeah, get on that. I'm sure she has tickets available already.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's not really being pushed quite yet, but it's happening. It's a thing.
All right, cool. Well, I'm excited for next week's show now. It usually doesn't, you know, hold my interest until the morning of, but this time I'm going to be thinking about coat damage all week long. So thanks for being here, Barbara. Thanks for listening, you guys. Happy grooming, everybody. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourselves, because we love you.